There's a saying that mother is a verb, not just a noun, and it's true. And so I think that we do have the ability to influence children's lives, whether we're teachers or aunts or sisters. I try very hard to be a role model to younger girls, whether it's my nieces or friends' daughters. And it's like, look, you can have these things, and you can travel and have money and have a career and you know, have all the things you want and volunteer and be a good person. And so it's important to me to set that example for other women, because that's all I really hope is that people make a conscious choice and really sit with themselves and think about, is this really what I want, or is this what is expected of me, or what someone else wants from me?
Welcome to We Are Child Free, a podcast about child-free women and the lives we lead. I'm your host, Zoe, and each episode I speak with another incredible woman about her decision not to have children and what it's meant for her life. Today I'm talking to Marie Fisher, an environmentalist and atheist based in Portland, Oregon, who plays the role of the cool aunt in her big blended family. Marie is one of 12 siblings and has 13 nieces and nephews. She's really involved in their lives and tries to be a role model for the younger girls especially, to show them they have options and can make a difference whether or not they decide to have kids. Marie's doing her part to leave a better world for future generations by limiting her environmental impact and volunteering for various nonprofits. We spoke in 2020, just before Amy Coney Barrett was appointed to the US Supreme Court, when things were looking very Handmaid's Tale, and Marie's message rings as true now as it did then. Stand your ground. Think hard about what you want your life to look like, and when you've made the decision that's right for you, stay firm. So empowering, right? Enjoy my conversation with Marie.
In some regard, I've always known as a child, I didn't play with dolls. I didn't pick out children's names, sort of some of those typical things that I think they expect from little girls. It was just when I envisioned my future when I was a child, I envisioned being a businesswoman and going to work every day. And there was really no child in that vision. So I think it probably wasn't until maybe post-college in my early to mid-20s where I sort of solidified that. But, you know, it was never really a decision for me. It just wasn't something I assumed that I'd be doing.
I see. So where did you grow up?
I grew up in rural New Jersey on the East Coast of the U.S.
Okay. And where are you now?
I'm in Portland, Oregon. So now I live on the West Coast.
Okay. And you come from a really big family. That's right. Really big.
I do. I come from a blended family. And so I was a child of a second marriage on both sides. And so both of my parents had children from previous marriages, and they each had five. So,
wow.
And then they had me, and I have a younger sister. So that would be 12 in total.
Amazing. Wow. Woo, that is a lot. That's a lot. And what are your memories from back then? You know, was it a fun childhood? Was it just, you know, everyone running around screaming?
It was chaotic. That's how I remember it is chaotic. I was always a quiet child and I liked solitude, and it certainly wasn't that. There's a pretty substantial age gap. And so some of my older siblings were already in their late teens and 20s, and so didn't live in the home when I was growing up. So it wasn't like there were 12 of us in the home at the same time, but
right.
There were, you know, always a handful of us, 4, 5, 6 at any given time. And as you can imagine, some of my older siblings were having children when I was quite young. And so I've been an aunt for really as long as I can remember. It was chaotic. It was always a helpful house, and we didn't have a lot of money, and it was a small house. And so, you know, sharing bedrooms, sharing a single bathroom, meal times were just crazy.
Right. You know, I can only imagine. I have a twin sister, but my family, that's it really. It's just my parents, my auntie and uncle. And I can't really comprehend what it must be like to have so many family members. So I imagine the holidays must be chaotic as well.
they were quite chaotic. My parents have both since passed, and there's no longer any sort of expectation around, you know, those big holiday events anymore, which is actually quite a relief for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny that, yeah, we can kind of fetishize, you know, the kind of the holidays and the time with you're spending with family, and the reality of it can be quite different, can be quite stressful sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. Very, very tense. I was always the child who was, you know, finding a quiet place to hide with a book during holidays.
Okay, so you're more of an introvert.
Absolutely.
So how many nephews and nieces do you actually have then?
I have 13.
Wow. Of
varying ages. My younger sister actually was the most recent to have a baby. She has a 2-year-old, but I have nieces and nephews in their mid-30s.
So how did your family kind of take to this decision not to have children?
I do have other siblings without children, whether through choice or circumstance. And so I think they were always very accepting of it. My mother, when she was alive, loved her grandchildren. I mean, she just lived for the children in the house. But there were always plenty of them. So I never felt any pressure to have any of my own.
And I mean, because this was something you kind of knew from a very early age, I'm imagining you never needed to tell anyone. You know, it's not like you needed to make the statement, I'm not having children. Or did you ever need to kind of make that to someone in your family?
I don't think I ever needed to, but I think I did quite a lot actually growing up from, not that I recall, but from what I've heard from others, that I was always saying I wasn't having children. It's funny, my younger sister has a teenage daughter now who has also been proclaiming that she's not having children, which I find rather amusing. We'll see what ends up happening.
Can you understand why you decided so young not to have children? Or was it just something that was so natural to you?
I think, like I said, I never really had the desire anyway. But when I thought about it, there was just... my family certainly had its troubles, and I watched, you know, siblings and nieces and nephews go through different stages of life that were challenging for them. And I think I've always sort of had the sense that I didn't want that responsibility of bringing someone into the world and ultimately being responsible for, you know, their upbringing and their happiness and watching them struggle. And yeah. To me, it just seemed like this vast responsibility that, quite honestly, I never wanted.
And you have enough family members who kind of provide those, you know, children. If you wrote when you applied to me initially about how you love your nephews and nieces, and you actually took one of your nieces on holiday as well.
I have, yeah. Several of them have come out to visit me on the West Coast. I took my niece to London and Paris when she was 10.
Amazing.
I have traveled with them, and yeah, I've never had a shortage of children in my life, even as a young child. So, you know, babysitting, changing diapers, that sort of thing, I had plenty of experience with it. So the decision was certainly not an uninformed one.
Yes,
I wouldn't say that I like children, to be quite honest, and I do feel, as a child-free person, often sometimes that's the caveat that we feel like we have to make when we're explaining our child-free choices, because it's one thing to say you don't want children. I think it's even another to take it a step further and say you don't like them. People, that doesn't sit well with people. I don't particularly like children. My nieces and nephews are, you know, I enjoy spending time with them, but in limited amounts as well. Mm-hmm. Children are just not really part of my adult life. I live, yeah, you know, in the city. I socialize with other adults. I do have friends who have children, but their lives change quite a bit once they have children. And so I don't see them as much either. And when we do, we try to do, you know, very adult activities. And so my day-to-day doesn't involve children for the most part. And I'm quite happy with that.
Yeah, people really do take offense if you ever kind of suggest that you might not, you know, love every child that's,
yes,
on this earth. It's, you know, they really take offense to it, which is kind of crazy, because, you know, when I mean, when I've seen my friends and their children are running around or screaming, or, you know, the beginning part doesn't look that fun.
It really doesn't. No.
So it's like, well, what's the good part about this? Please tell me.
No. And even, I mean, now, you know, watching, I'm 44. And so I have friends with, you know, who had children earlier, who their children are now in high school or college. And so they're grown. And, you know, there is nothing about it that has ever appealed to me. I have never once, you know, spent time with a friend's child and thought, oh, maybe I could do this or I want to do this. In fact, the more time I spend with children and listen to my friends who have children, you know, the more it reaffirms my decision not to have them.
And have you ever faced, you know, any criticism, you know, from either someone who you know or from a stranger for the decision? Or has it been all relatively supportive?
I would say more from strangers, and it doesn't happen so much now in my 40s, because I think, you know, that phase has sort of passed. But I would say definitely in my 20s and 30s, more strangers, you know, colleagues at work or older women love to give advice to younger women.
Right.
And so I certainly remember those conversations, silly things like who's going to take care of you when you're older, which, of course, is absolutely no guarantee anyway.
Right. Yeah.
Children desert their parents all the time when they get older.
Absolutely.
So
yes.
I not to, you know, an extent, I would say, and certainly not from people close to me or from family members. So I was lucky that way.
Right. Yeah. Because your career is in the healthcare pharmaceutical industry. Is that right?
That's correct. And on the corporate side of things in marketing. And so I've always worked in, you know, headquarters and home offices and, you know, sat in an office behind a desk.
And I mean, yeah, because this is something that child-free women, you know, get told a lot, that we choose our career over having children. And I mean, I don't see if there's anything wrong with that, to be honest. You know, you should be able to choose. You should be able to choose what you do with your life. And if that is career, then why not go for it? You know, I mean, have you noticed anything in that industry, you know, regarding child-free women, how they're treated, or, you know, when women have children, obviously, then lots of women sadly don't go back to their careers,
right.
which is a real shame.
I do have some thoughts about it. My industry is very male dominated to begin with, and so
right.
Typically at the top are mostly men, many of whom have families, and but of course, you know, the same demands aren't placed on them.
No,
you know, I understand that working mothers have it tough, and I do work with, you know, women who are either primary breadwinners or you know, have careers and you know, deal with childcare. I will say that I have always felt like there is an expectation that child-free people don't have the same demands on their time, or their time outside of the office isn't as valuable. And so I do feel like there is often precedence given to women who have children to make concessions for them in the workplace. You know, whether it's having to leave early to pick up a child at daycare or having to work from home because a child has a doctor's appointment. And I'm not saying that shouldn't happen, but I do feel like that should be my time to me outside of the office is just as valuable as someone who has a family. And whether that's me sitting on my sofa with a glass of wine, you know, or someone tending to their children, I don't feel that you can place different values on that. And so the one thing I would say about the workplace in general that has always bothered me a little bit is an expectation that child-free people can work longer hours or work later or take the travel, or that our time just isn't as valuable.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. I mean, you also told me that you work on the board of a local nonprofit organization for HIV and AIDS. So you obviously fill your time outside of your job with a lot of things as well. And why shouldn't you be given the same priority for your free time as, yeah, people who have children?
But yeah, that's absolutely true. And so I do, I work for several nonprofits. And I do volunteer my time. And, you know, of course, I have a host of other things that I like to do outside of work. And I usually travel extensively, not now, of course, but and so, yeah, it's true. I'm not, you know, sitting at home, you know, watching, you know, television shows, when I'm not at work. I am quite busy, and maybe, you know, it's not child rearing, but I do, it is important.
Absolutely. I mean, this is, we're always kind of told that child-free women are selfish. And actually, it's in my eyes, I see child-free women as the people who contribute so much to their communities. And they have the time, the energy, the money to give back, you know, a bit more perhaps than people who can be so focused on their family, like, you know, rightly so, raising a family takes so much energy and so much of yourself. You know, do those people really have anything left to give back to other, you know, organizations or communities? And you know, child-free women actually can have that ability to give back so much more. So I wish we were kind of seen a bit more in that positive light, that actually, you know, we aren't selfish and, you know, like you said, just sitting on our sofa, enjoying, you know, a glass of wine and chilling. Although that is also valid, like you said.
Absolutely. And Zoe, I'm so glad you brought up the concept of selfishness, because it is one that I think is a common thread for child-free women, this idea that mothers are selfless and child-free women are selfish. And first of all, I don't balk at the term selfish. We're all selfish and we all prioritize things in our life. And yes, absolutely, I'm a selfish individual. But this idea that people who choose motherhood are selfless is quite honestly silly to me. If you ask, we get asked all the time, you know, why don't you have children? Or what was that decision about? Yet if you were to ask a parent, why did you decide to have children? It always starts with, I wanted. That's always the response. I wanted.
Yeah.
And so to me, I will be so bold and provocative as to say that I believe the decision to have children is very selfish. And maybe the, you know, the reasons behind it are good, but it is still a selfish decision. And I challenge anyone who says that it's not.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, there are loads of kids who need homes desperately. And when people, you know, they do just jump to the first easiest option, which is to have their own children. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but I am saying also look at yourself before you say to another person they are selfish, because perhaps you might be just as selfish in another way, and you're entitled to that form of selfishness, if you like. But yeah, why do you think there is this stigma then for child-free women? Where does it stem from?
I think a lot of these sort of outdated notions just stem from a different period in time when women didn't have as many choices. And I'm also atheist, and that's another important part of my identity. And I do believe that a lot of this comes from religion and the acceptance of religion, particularly I can speak to the U.S., and this idea that, you know, this is what women are supposed to do. And and now women have more opportunities in terms of careers, but I think there's still an expectation that you will still be a mother. It's almost like a given. And I think that that's ingrained in little girls from the time that they're small. And sadly, I think that a lot of women don't question it. And I have yet to find a parent who will admit that they regret having children, because apparently that's just a horrible thing to ever say, even if it's true. But I do personally believe that there are a lot of women out there who, if they could go back and do it again, would have made a different choice, because it almost wasn't a choice. I think it's just this path, you will have children, you will get married, you will, you know, do these things and have a home. And I think a lot of people just don't question it.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I mean, this is part of the reason this project is so important, because I just want everyone to really think about what they want to do with their life and where they're best suited. And so many women, you know, my mom was someone who I think if she went back, she probably wouldn't have had kids. She's a great mother and she loved us, but she was very, very honest and told me it was hard. It was the hardest thing and it never stops. You know, I'll always be worrying about you no matter how old you are. So my life is about worrying now. And I really appreciated her honesty, to be honest. And I wish women could be honest and not face that judgment, because you're right. I've never heard anyone else ever say to me they regretted having children, because they would. It's such a taboo thing to even talk about, and it shouldn't be.
It is. And I think it's synonymous with it means I don't love my children. And that's right. Completely untrue. It's I think, of course, you know, someone loves their children. I think it's fine to say, absolutely, I love my children, but I still would have gone back and made a different decision. And, you know, as I mentioned, I have nieces and what's important to me is just, again, that they're making a conscious choice. And so if children are really what they want, then, you know, that's absolutely fine. But I want them to know that they have choices. And I try very hard to be a role model to younger girls, whether it's my nieces or you know, friends' daughters. And it's like, look, you can have these things and you can travel and have money and have a career and, you know, have all the things you want and volunteer and be a good person. And so it's important to me to set that example for other women, because that's all I really hope is that, people make a conscious choice and really sit with themselves and think about, is this really what I want? Or is this what is expected of me or what someone else wants from me?
Absolutely. So do you think for your nieces, is it getting easier for women? I mean, will your nieces, when they grow up, will there be, you know, no judgments for child-free women at all? What do you think?
No, I think it's getting easier, but like many things in society, it's so slow. It's such a slow cultural shift and behavioral shift. And there's still so much ingrained, at least in the American society, I feel it's still something very much that is expected. And as long as, honestly, as long as there are older women out there questioning those choices and, you know, telling women that they should be having children or they should feel bad for not wanting them, then it will keep perpetuating. And I really don't see that changing. I mean, even amongst very progressive, liberal, you know, women with careers, I hear this, this sort of thing. And so I think it's going to be a very slow change. And women still don't have equal rights. We don't. Nope. I mean, regardless of all the advances, and you know, there have been quite a few in the past 50 years, but we still don't have equal rights.
No, that's the bare minimum what we need before you know, we can get anything else. It's just like, okay, how about you give us the same money as men? You treat us the same as men, and I mean, we're nowhere near reaching that yet. So. No. You're right. Progress is so slow. It feels sometimes like we're going backwards. And I mean, watching the US and the political environment right now, I mean, it's a bit scary. You think, wow, we could actually be going backwards.
It's very scary. Yeah, it's very scary. And I know that this isn't, you know, meant to be a political discussion. Obviously, I'm a Democrat. I'm liberal and progressive. And it's very scary because it's not just, you know, one or a few individuals in power, it's ultimately all of the people who put them there. And so this belief is pervasive and persistent. And that scares me.
Very much. And I mean, women's rights seem to be just being cut left, right, and center. And to think that maybe Roe versus Wade could be overturned and, you know, just women's reproductive rights and, you know, all of these aspects are possibly going to be reversed and women are going to be set back even further. And that's so scary to me.
It is unbelievable. You know, there are, for a long time, women had children because they had no choice, or they had many children because they didn't have, you know, reproductive access, or, and obviously this still happens in some countries. But to think in developed nations, you know, that something like that could happen in the year 2020 is just unbelievable to me. It's like surreal. It's like we're living in an alternate reality right now.
It is. It really is. It is like The Handmaid's Tale coming to life. Scary. It's very scary. But I mean, thinking about, you know, positive things. What are the positive things that you've done with your life that you couldn't have if you had children? So to any of the child-free women out there who may be, you know, worried about this decision and thinking, I'm going to lead a very, you know, lonely, sad life. I want them to realize that this is not the case.
It is anything but. I mean, obviously, the most glaring difference is financial and economical, right? Children are very, very, very expensive, and not having them is. I'm sure there are actual facts and figures on, you know, how much more money over a lifetime a child-free woman has, but I think that's the biggest one. It's so But having that financial access certainly gives you the freedom to do other things. And so, you know, things like travel or even material possessions or buying your first home, things like that. I would say the other real positive for me, and this isn't the case for everyone, but because I do have such a big family and nieces and nephews, I've been able to dedicate myself, you know, as an aunt and you know, like I said, taking them, you know, on trips to Europe and flying them around, you know, the world. I couldn't do that if I had my own children, obviously.
No.
And so I've always been a sounding board for my nieces and nephews. And the way I look at it is they need a trusted adult that they can speak to about things that they're not comfortable speaking with their parents about, but mm-hmm. also one who will steer them in the right direction. And so, you know, I've always strived to be that for my nieces and nephews is you can come to me with anything and we can talk about it. And I am an adult and I'm going to give you adult advice.
Yes.
You know, especially if I think that, you know, there's, you know, harm or something like that, but I'm not your parent. And so I'm not going to view it with that lens. And I think that's an important role that I've played and, you know, my siblings will say the same. You know, I am mostly the favorite aunt. of course, I am the one, yeah, who buys the lavish gifts for birthdays and holidays. And, you know, and I enjoy that role. Yeah. I enjoy doing it from a distance.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, I mean, that's something, had I had my own children, I would never have been able to do that.
And I mean, I'm sure, yeah, your siblings are really grateful for that position that you have in their children's lives. I mean, you know, if you had your own children, you wouldn't be able to give so much focus to the rest of your family, perhaps. So just because we don't want kids, it doesn't mean we're, you know, we're useless as women, which is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. There's a saying that mother is a verb, not just a noun. And it's true. And so I think that we do have the ability to influence children's lives, whether we're teachers or aunts or sisters. You know, I think we have the ability to have that sort of influence on a child's life. And we may not all choose to, but it is there. And then I would say that the third real benefit, and you touched on this earlier, is the time to do things like volunteering and giving up time and having more money to be able to give to causes that we support. And
yes,
you know, I think that that can't be underestimated. Like you said, parents just aren't, for the most part, they don't have that sort of time and energy and money to put into things that are external from their family. And whereas we do, and it's all, volunteering has always been very important to me, and it is something that I take very seriously, like a job. And I think that we all have the responsibility to give back in a way that's bigger than ourselves.
Yes, and you are an environmentalist, is that right?
I am.
So, yes. So this is another kind of topic that's interesting with the way the world is going and overpopulation. Obviously, this is a big factor for child-free women, and you know, again, maybe this is a positive society that not everyone is producing children, but it doesn't, you know, it's not seen as that. But this is really important to you. Yes,
it is very important to me, and I won't say it's the reason I decided not to have children. I have heard, I think it was like a millennial study where a lot of young women are saying they're not having children because of climate change. I think that's wonderful. That's absolutely wonderful. I wouldn't say it was necessarily a driving factor for me, but it is very important. And if I look at, you know, back over my lifetime, obviously the environmental impact that I've had by not having children is huge. I also don't own or drive a car. so I think that's another big one. But yeah, my environmental footprint is very small as compared to a family or parent.
I think, isn't it, having a child is basically the worst thing you can do for the environment. Sorry.
Right.
But it's the reality, right? And, you know, no one wants to really talk about that. And if you did say that to a person who has a child, it's never taken well.
No, it's not. And the ironic part is, if you think about who should be the biggest environmentalist, parents, because they're the ones bringing future generations, right? So it's the future generations who are going to have to clean up this mess and suffer the consequences of it. And so the biggest environmentalists should be the parents who are creating future generations. When I'm gone, Zoe, there's nothing, right? There's nothing left. you know, I will die and that will be the end of it. So why should I care what state I leave the earth in?
Right.
Likewise, I see so many parents who don't recycle, don't compost, they just don't have time or energy, and it's just one more thing on their list. And so, but to me, that's really ironic. You're bringing future generations into the world and really not caring what sort of world you leave to them, just leaving that responsibility to them. Well, they'll figure it out. So it is interesting to me, and it's important to me as an environmentalist that I leave behind a better world and have less of a footprint.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm going to try that tack next time I talk to my... I'd be like, well, let me put it this way.
Well, it's so true. I mean, what about your future great-great-grandchildren, right? You don't want them living in this toxic world where they can't drink the water and you know, they can't visit beautiful places.
I think you're right, though. It's being a parent is so, it sucks your time and energy, and you just don't even have anything left to be like, okay, instead of buying this plastic, toy car, I'm going to look for a sustainable toy maker, and I'm going to spend more money on, purchasing something that is better for the environment. Like, they just don't have that energy or money to do those things, which I get it. But yeah, I think a lot of it is, consumerism, and we're just told you're meant to just buy stuff. Constantly buy the house, buy the car, the kids' toys, all of it, instead of actually thinking about, can we slow this down? Do we need this stuff? But it's breaking that, that brainwashing almost, that this is what you do as a human on this earth. And when you go against that, as a child-free woman, we are kind of saying no to that. It kind of shocks people a little bit.
It does. And I agree with you about parenting taking time and energy and money that can't be put towards other things. But I also think we shouldn't allow that excuse, right? Because it gets back to, in most cases, it was a choice. I understand not for everyone, but it was a choice that you made. And so when you made that choice to have a child, you made a lot of other choices at the same time, whether you realize it or not. And there's accountability and responsibility that goes with that, bringing a productive human into the world and raising them and all of that, but also making sure that the impact that they have on the earth is a positive one and not a negative one. And I think probably this isn't something many people think about when they're thinking about having children or after they have children. But I personally feel that those are the responsibilities of parents.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. This needs to be more of the conversation when you're thinking about having children. It should be more like, how are we going to raise these these kids in a sustainable way that makes sure that, the environment is going to be protected as much as possible, rather than just, okay, we're just going to do this and think about it later, which you never do.
Someone once said to me that having children is the ultimate form of hope. And I think it's really true. You are really putting your hopes out there in the world by having children. But I also think it's sort of a blind hope in a lot of ways. We talked about like just the current political landscape and where things stand. And so to me, if you are choosing right now at this moment in time to have children and also simultaneously thinking that things are pretty bad, what does that say about you? You're choosing to bring humans into a world that you think is pretty bad. And so that sort of blows my mind, the people who are having children right now and also complaining about the state of the world. Because that is really selfish. I mean, that is, and it's also hopeful in a way that's saying, well, I anticipate that when they're adults, it will be a different world. And I just think that's a bit misguided.
Legacy is this thing that is talked about a lot as well when you're thinking about having children and like what's going to be left behind you, if you don't have children, which I don't understand at all. I've never ever cared about leaving, having someone else have my blood, and when I die, they're here. I've never ever thought about that. What are your thoughts about legacy?
I also don't care about legacy, not in the least. I think that's another very selfish concept of the way that people can live on after they're gone. I have my estate set up such as that when I die, it goes to nonprofits that I care about, and so. I chose not to leave it to, you know, various family members. My family's way too big to figure that out anyway. But but quite honestly, I mean, that isn't something that I think about. I would much rather organizations that I care about know that that money's going towards them. Mm,
absolutely.
And furthering issues I care about. Yeah, legacy is, it's a silly, selfish concept to me.
It really is. Yeah, it's bizarre. It is bizarre to me. But yeah, so many people just think, you know, they put all their bets on their child, you know, fulfilling their life the way that I think people don't fulfill their own lives. And instead they, you know, put all of their hopes onto a child to do it for them instead of maybe having the guts to live the life that they want sometimes. And, you know, I just would much rather just live my life as best as I can and, you know, focus on myself and my community and, you know, spreading the love and having a positive impact on this world. But yeah, I mean, when I'm gone, I'm gone. And I'm okay with that.
Absolutely. I feel the same. You know, you had mentioned overpopulation, and I truly do believe that the earth is overpopulated. There are, you know, movements towards negative population growth or zero population growth. And I can get behind a lot of that. I don't believe that you have the right to, you know, replicate more than yourself. I don't believe that, you know, a couple has the right to have six children. It's just, I think it's irresponsible. I think, you know, the earth, I think, has reached its carrying capacity, and we're seeing so much of that, you know, whether it's the environmental impact or disease or hunger or, and I just see overpopulation at the heart of much of that. And so I think, you know, yes, you may be able to afford to have a child and raise a child, and that's fine, but it is still, it's still placing a burden, on, you know, on the earth. And I think that that's something that a lot of people don't think about either. You shouldn't necessarily have as many children as you can afford, or not afford. I think it gets back to environmental issues. And I think it's just not something that people spend a lot of time thinking about because it's so much bigger than themselves.
I mean, I wonder, when are we going to really tackle this issue like head on? Like, it seems so many governments, we're just putting our head in the sand, kind of going, oh, well, yeah, this country's burning down and we've got, you know, viruses all over. And, you know, the world is kind of turning upside down right now. And so many things are happening. We've got, you know, ice caps melting. And so we have the signs that we are definitely on a trajectory that's not good. But yet the main issue is overpopulation. But we aren't even doing anything to tackle it. I mean, in Germany, because the birth rate has been so low, they are trying to incentivize women to have kids by giving them, you know, great maternity and paternity packages. And it's like, okay, but why are we incentivizing having more kids? We know, you know, the population is so overcrowded. Shouldn't we be tackling the environment before we do the things like this? But it's like, it's such a taboo subject to even discuss regulating how many kids people would have.
It is a very taboo subject. You know, in the countries where they've done some of that, it has not gone over well. It is sort of this right, that people feel that this, you know, they're born with this right to reproduce as much as they choose to. And I really don't think you are. I wish that people were making the decision. I wish that the government didn't have to interfere or, you know, that wasn't even a discussion we need to have because people were doing the responsible thing and making the decision, but they're not. And I know there are some developed countries, like you mentioned, where they're very concerned about birth rates and very concerned about that population pyramid where you have most of the population above the age of 50. And so then there's this concern about who's going to actually do the work in 20 years. But I really believe that that all works itself out. I certainly, just because we have some pockets where birth rates are down, I certainly don't believe that, that we should be concerned that women need to have more children.
So what about relationships then? Has this decision to not have children affected?
That's a good
again,
one.
I'm going to ask the question.
Yeah, no, that's a great one. I'm single by choice. And, but it has very much so. I mean, especially like we talked about in your 20s and 30s when you're, you know, of childbearing age, so to speak, it's something that comes up. I'm heterosexual, so I date men, and it's definitely most men would say, well, I don't want to have children now, but someday I do. And, right. and so it's something they're sort of thinking about. And so I think it has, for me, it definitely has limited relationships because I learned early on that it's something that I have to put on the table very early, because it may have long-term consequences for someone else. And so I put it right out there, you know, first, second, third date. Look, I'm not having children. Again, now that I'm in my 40s, it has changed quite a bit. The men in my cohort oftentimes are divorced with grown children, which has taken away, I think, a lot of that pressure. You know, there is no expectation. I probably would not date someone with young children because, again, it's just messy. And I don't really want young children in my life. I have dated men with, you know, a teenage and adult children, and that's much less of an issue. But, you know, the other thing is, Zoe, when I think about the type of person I want to be with or what sort of relationship I want to be in, I also have to question, this is someone who chose to have children. And so what does that mean to me and what I think about them and our feelings towards each other, that this was something that was important to them and they chose to do for whatever reason. And it no longer puts the pressure on me to bear children, but at the same time, it does say something about them. And that's something I've struggled with. You know, I certainly am willing to date someone with older children, but it is, you know, they're a parent. And I'm not. And I think, you know, to some extent, it puts this barrier there, you know, and
right.
And again, they come at it with all the parent prejudices, right, of you don't understand, you don't know, you didn't do this. So it's an interesting one.
When is there going to be like a child-free dating app?
Maybe there is,
exactly, yeah, because it makes sense, right? You, of course, you want to be with another person who has maybe the same values and wants to live the same kind of life. And yeah, when the other person has children in their life, it is very different, very different. So I'm not surprised that you would want to be with another person who didn't have kids. Yeah, that makes complete sense.
Yeah, and I have run into these challenges, like you said, with holidays. So I love to travel over the holidays. And many times I've been on a plane on Christmas Day. It means nothing to me. You know, and so, you know, I don't ever want to be, now that I don't have the expectation of spending holidays with my own biological family, I like to choose where I spend it. And so if I was dating someone who has children and was, you know, beholden to celebrate these holidays, and we wouldn't be able to celebrate them together unless I did the family thing, that would be a struggle, to your point. And even, you know, again, getting back to the whole financial aspect, if someone is still supporting growing children, with, you know, you know, supporting an ex-wife or something like that, I mean, those all impact as a couple your financial status. And so, you know, I want to be able, I have the means to do things like, you know, go out for nice dinners and travel and do things that I like to do and have experiences that I pay for. And so it's very difficult if I'm with someone who doesn't have the ability to do those things and doesn't have that level of freedom or financial freedom.
Absolutely. Yes. So I think a really nice place to end it would be, what is your message then to the child-free women out there, you know, who maybe they're not so open about their decision or they can't be, or they feel alone because of this decision? What could you say to them?
I would say stand your ground. There are many of us out there, probably more than you realize. If you're feeling pressure, if you haven't fully made up your mind and aren't sure whether you want children, but you're feeling pressure, whether it's age or from family or society, really sit with yourself and spend time thinking about, what do I want? Take everyone else out of the equation. What do I want? What are the things in the next year, 5 years, 10 years where I want my life to go? And where do children factor into that? And if children are going to prevent you from achieving some of those things, then have a serious think about whether they make sense for you. And it's not about what anyone else wants. It's not about what your parents want or your partner wants or what you think you need to do. And again, stay firm.
We Are Child Free is hosted by me, Zoe Noble, and produced by James Glazebrook. If you liked this episode, please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, as this really helps other people find us. Head to wearechildfree.com to read more stories from incredible child-free women and find out how to share your story with me. Speak soon, lovelies.